The book of Genesis, chapter number 22. Book of Genesis, chapter number 22. We'll stand and honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of Genesis, chapter number 22. God's been good to you. Say amen.
Amen.
We have before us today one of the greatest passages, one of the greatest pictures that God ever allowed a man to write before Calvary. In this text, there are three main characters. There is God, there's Abraham, there's Isaac. And the Bible says this: it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test or try Abraham. I wonder, you ever been serving the Lord and all of a sudden He brings a great test to your life? And He said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. I want to say, Abraham was willing to be found. A lot of folks don't want God to find them because it will require something out of you. But I will remind you, it required something out of God to find you. It cost Him His Son that we may have communications with God the Father. So He spoke to Abraham and He said, Here I am. What a mouthful. And we got to be this honest this morning. That's all we can say today is, Here I am. Where are you today? Where does God find you to be? Here I am. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. I want to thank You for the goodness of God. I want to thank You for Your compassion and love and mercy. I want to thank You for the good time, Lord, that we had fellowship with Your people last night. I want to thank You that we've got a place that we can gather together this morning. God, to come and sing the songs of Zion and hear the reading of the Word of God. And I pray that You would put big things in our heart today and do things for us. Help us to be obedient to You and mindful to others. Dear God, I stand in a place this morning that, Father, I don't like standing by myself, and I pray You'd help me. Because I sure do need You to help me to be a blessing this morning. I pray You'd touch and magnify the Word of God. I want to pray for our nation. Pray for those, God, that is on our prayer list that need help from Your world today. Thank You for these good folks and their faithfulness. But God, You're a God that is so faithful, and I thank You for that. In Christ's name, in Jesus' name, I ask You today, amen and amen. The Bible said in verse number 2, He said, now I want to give you some directions. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went in the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said first, "Here I am." But now he says, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it said, "This day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." I'm interested this morning in verse number 2 where the Bible said, "And take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of." And I'm going to preach on this thought this morning on when logic is lacking. When logic is lacking. I've heard a lot of people say, "Well, you know, God is always logic." Not necessarily. God may require some things of me and you that really don't make a lot of sense to us at times. God may allow things to happen in your life that you never would have planned it to happen that way. How logical is it for God to put His Son on a cross that we may go to heaven? That don't sound real logical to me. That is a God that is sometimes so far out to my comprehension of the love that He had for me and you, that He gave His only Son, that He'd die on a cross, that I may access faith and believe and be gloriously saved by the grace of God. That's not logical to me. That's way past our understanding. God was God, and God could have done anything He wanted to do to get us to where He was, but He chose to give us His Son. That's an amazing thing to me. Now, I want to say by way of preaching today, for I want to get to the thrust part of this message that God's put in my heart, I want to say when logic is lacking, first of all, you'll notice there was a mention involved. In verse number 1, there God came, and it was a test that came to Abraham. Have you ever found yourself in a test? I don't like tests. I never did like tests. I want to be honest with you, it's not good, but I always found a way to get by tests. But I found this out with God. You'll take His test the way He sends it and takes it the way that He wants you to take it. I used to play on my school teacher's emotions. I would tell lies that I'm not proud of, and I don't suggest you to tell lies because lying is wrong. I've cheated and I've swindled to get through things of high school, but thank God I got through. But I want to tell you this morning, there are some tests that God will allow in our life that you can't cheat taking His test. Now, I want to say there was a test involved. Now, God never tested Lot. Lot was the nephew to Abraham, but God never tested Lot because God already knew his caliber and everybody else knew his caliber. He lifted his eyes toward Sodom. He pinched his tent that way. You be careful, honey, where your tent is pitched at this morning. It'll take your family in the wrong direction. Test involved. Lot was shallow. He was worldly. He was empty. He was a carnal man. But here Abraham, being a friend of God, God says there's a test involved. Then notice this, there's a time involved. He said, after these things, what things? God had called him to leave his homeland, everything he'd ever known and loved. God had him to leave it. And so he walked out by faith looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He is looking for something that didn't have USA stamped upon. He just believed God. And he started out walking by faith. I'm glad we've got a God that you can still believe by faith in this day, in this hour. So, after these things, he had left his homeland. He had had to do away with Ishmael, the son that had come to him through a concubine. It seemed that Abraham had some things happen in his life. Lot, his nephew, got in trouble down at the king of Sodom. Abraham went down there and rescued him. The king of Sodom said, I'll give you great riches. And I love what Abraham said. He said, you keep your stinking riches. He said, I'll not take one thing from you because unless I do, somebody will say that you made Abraham rich. He said, I want to nail it down. God's still in the blessing business this morning. He had turned his back on the riches of Sodom. Walked out with his nephew. We see in this mention there was a test involved. There was a time involved. Seemed like that when Abraham had minded God in the most persistent ways, God allowed this test to come in his life. There was a test involved. It was a time involved, but there was a truth involved. You see, here we see what Calvary did unto the Son and how that it was so important, how it touched the heart of the Father about the Son. But I want to remind you now that not only have we seen here in this text how it affects the Son, but now in this second thing I want to say, let's look at how it affected the Father. Now, there was a mention involved. Verse 2, it's a mission involved. First of all, he said in verse 2, thy son, he was summoned. You know, this is when God asks you for something that He's already given you. Has God ever asked you for something that He already gave you? It was not only this mission that Abraham was summoned, but I want to say that he was saddened. Look what the Bible said in verse number 2. He rose up early. I don't think it's because he wanted to get an early start. I don't think he slept good that night. Let me ask you, if God had told you He was going to give you a son in your old age, and out of him the lineage of Christ would flow, and all of a sudden that God had handed you, many authors would say this is a mid-teenage young boy, and God speaks to him and says, I want you to go and offer him at a place that I tell you. I wonder, did he mention it to Sarah? I know a lot of y'all sleep real good at night, but honey, there's some nights I don't lay down real good, so that lets me get up early in the morning. I hate fighting the bed. A lot of y'all say, well, if you drink your Geritol, get you some Pepto-Bismol, go to bed about 7 o'clock, you'll sleep all night. Honey, sometimes I can't sleep all night. You say, well, preacher, I'm 70 years old. I feel like I'm 16. Your problem is you forgot what 16 feels like. There's some times that I'm ready to get up because the bed's not been good. The Bible said that he rose up early. I want to ask you something. What would be going on in this father's heart? I want to ask you something. Maybe when he got to stirring and he saddled them donkeys, maybe Sarah said, where are you going? I wonder what he said. You know some things in the Bible that's not mentioned that I love to just really think about where other people's situation was. I wonder what was going on with Sarah. A son of her old age. Her husband's fixing to ride off yonder when the sun comes up and is going to sacrifice him. I want to say something that the older that I've gotten, and I want to say this as your pastor this morning. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you say and be careful the judgment that you pass on others because you might not know the whole story. Now, there was a summon. There was sadness. He rose up early. He had all night to think about. Have you ever been all night thinking about what you got to do in the morning? Verse 3, not only was he summoned and saddened, but you'll see that he was surrendered. The Bible said that he rose up early and he saddled his ass. Took two of his young men with him. Wonder why he took them men with him. He was surrendered. Verse 5, he was settled. Look what it said on 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder worship and come again unto you. What faith! He was settled. God told him to go and take his son and offer him for a sacrifice. And Abraham said, here, hold the donkeys. Me and the son will be back. That's an amazing thing. It's amazing to me, Abraham and his faith. I wonder if God come to you and gave you such a trial, such a test, would you have faith in your life that God knows best? I want to say he was summoned. God come to him. Abraham didn't ask for this. I want to say that he was saddened. I want to say he was surrendered, but thank God in verse 5, he was settled. Come again to you. You ever had faith knowing but not knowing? I remember one time in particular, God was about to ask me something that was important to me, something God had given to me. And now He was starting to move in my heart to ask me to give it back. And I remember Brother Mike was out in front of that chapel. I told Brother Mike about it, and the Holy Ghost flooded this hill. Brother Mike had given me some assurance of that he could see things going and the way God was working in my life. I want to say Abraham didn't have a Brother Mike. Abraham simply took God at His word that God would be faithful. This morning, when logic is lacking, I want to say there's a mission involved. There's a mission involved. He was summoned, sat and surrendered, but sat. I'm going to say something. You can be saddened, but you can be settled. Happiness is about things. I'm not happy all my days, but I'm settled. I'm settled that I believe the God that has saved me. Have you ever been saved? I'm settled because there's a God that knows everything about me and knows what I need when I need it. And He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake. There's a mention involved. It's a mission involved. But I will say in verse 4, there's a Moriah involved. He said, go and offer him at a place called Moriah. It was a high place. Now, look in verse number 6. I want to show you something that a man I read behind this morning gave me a thought. You'll see in verse number 4, on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place far off. And Abraham said unto his young men. Now I told you this has been a lot about the son, but now we can see something about the father. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. This Moriah. Could we look just a minute at the walk of Calvary? Here in verse 6, both of them went together. The son was not chained to the father. They simply walked up together. You remember, he brought a couple of servants with him to hold the donkeys. I like what the old writer said. There at Calvary's cross, there was the mother of Jesus. There was Peter. There was John. There were some folks around Calvary. But honey, there's only two that could go to Calvary. It was God the Father and God the Son. I'm glad they went together on my account. Hallelujah. Nobody else could go to Calvary for you. But God the Father, God the Son, you know what He said too? He said, we coming back. Can I tell you, honey, He's a coming back. I don't care what the liberals in Washington's got to say. Jesus is coming back. And the Father will be with Him. Because He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's a walk at Calvary. They went alone. There's the way to Calvary. Verse 6, He took the wood, and look what the Bible said. He laid it upon Isaac, His son. Only Jesus could carry the cross to Calvary for you. The Father put the weight of the cross on His Son. He laid it on His Son. Then the walk of Calvary, the way to Calvary. But now look at the wrath of Calvary. In verse number 6, the Bible said that He took fire and knife. They went both of them together. There's the wrath of Calvary. Fire in His hand and a knife. There was the judgment of God which was coming upon His Son. Your sin and my sin came upon Christ. If you go to heaven, honey, it won't be because you're a good person or you're trying to work your way in. It'll be because a sovereign God sent His Son and put the wrath of this world upon Him and brought the judgment fire of God and the knife and brought blood, and His blood wasn't spilt this morning. It was shed. So I want to say there is the wrath of Calvary. But verse 7, look what he says. I'll never forget why I was preaching that night and God showed me this truth. In verse number 7, you'll see the walk of Calvary, the weight of Calvary, the wrath of Calvary. But now in verse 7, there's the wonder of Calvary. Look what he says. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. He said, Hear my, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt? This is what I want to say. The son didn't have a lamb for him. Jesus didn't have a lamb. He was the lamb. Every one of us had a lamb. The Lord Jesus. But Christ didn't have a lamb for himself. Because he paid the price for me. And he paid the price for you. He said, Where's the lamb? Everybody else had a lamb but the Son, because the Son was the lamb. He shed His blood that we could go free. Jesus had to pay the death, the sin price. The Son didn't have a lamb. Where's the lamb? And then I like what the Father said. Not only do you see there is the wonder of the cross, now look at the wow of the cross. He said, God will provide Himself a lamb. In other words, He said, God would become the sacrifice. Jehovah Witness speak about God being a good man. Jesus being a prophet. Oh, He is more than that. He is God-man. He said, well, how do you know that Jesus is alive? How would you kill Him? You can't drown Him. He walk on water. You put Him on a cross, the crucified. He'll bow His head and say, it's finished. Not I'm finished, but it's finished. You put Him in a fire furnace with a Hebrew boss. He's just walking around in the fire. How are you going to kill Him? I want to say this morning that God Himself, it's an amazing thing. All the wickedness that I've done in my life that I'm not proud about, God died for me. He died for you. You know, it's hard enough. I'm going to say this as your preacher. It's hard enough living for somebody, but it's something else to die for somebody. He died for us. We ought to live for Him. We ought to crucify this flesh every day of our life. You say, how do I do that? Did you know that crucifixion is the only death that you cannot perform on yourself? Somebody else has got to do it. Well, I say, oh God, crucify me every day of my life. I don't know about y'all, but the older I get, the meaner Ken gets. The rougher he gets. I know a lot of y'all's got this flesh handled, but I ain't got it handled yet. Little old sweet woman going to Sunday school, pull out in front of me. I have bad thoughts about her cutting me off in the road. I know none of y'all have no problems with the flesh. I know you don't never talk to your wife ugly. My wife paid me a compliment this week with a family. We was eating dinner. She said, I got to say something about Ken. He's got older and got sweeter. I praise God. I'm glad she thinks so. I think I've got older and meaner. Somebody say amen. I got problems with flesh. And you better not trust yours. It'll get you in more trouble than you ever get out of. God died for you. Now the last, when logic's lacking, anybody, God ever allowed something to happen in your life and it's just really not logical? I remember me and Brother Mike, Brother David Robson's here this morning, his daddy. There's a little primitive Baptist church, they're having church in it now, out 100, out past Corinth, River Bridge. Before you get to that river bridge, it's a little church on the left. Pretty little place. His daddy was the last member left. And I'm going to tell you what kind man Brother David Robinson's daddy was. I went up to his house. I said, listen, we're in a storefront building. I said, God's blessing there. I need a church that we can go. And you know what that man told me? He opened up the door and he stuck me a key out. And this is what he said. He said, preacher, he said, here's the key to that building. He said, you give me $1 a year and keep the graveyard cut and y'all move in there Sunday. I called Brother Mike, man, we was hightailing it toward the river bridge. Brother Hugh, I walked up that old clapboard door above my window. I walked in and the Holy Ghost said, get! Lord, that ain't logical. We out of room. This is perfect. They got pews, got a pulpit. Me and Brother Mike got up there on the altar together, prayed, didn't we, preacher? Holy Ghost said, get! I closed the door, walked back to his daddy. I said, sir, thank you, but God won't let me go down there. A few days later, probably in a few days, Renee's daddy said, hey, you know down there where that old Legion Hall's at? There's some property down there you ought to get. I said, I wouldn't put a church there. There's a beer joint there. He said, well, it'd be a pretty place. One thing led to another. Guess what? It wasn't logical to me. Put a church by a beer joint. But what I didn't see, after we bought the property, there's some boys shooting ball down here, and a lightning bolt come out of heaven and struck the old Legion building, and they called, said, preacher, lightning just struck the Legion building. Said, you want us to call the fire truck? I said, fire truck my foot. Call the gas truck. God burn it to the ground. When you go out, look where that tabernacle's sitting, honey. We hauled every brick off this property from that sin den. Built a tabernacle for the glory of God. That wasn't logical to me. God does things that's not logical in my mind. I was doing real good, I'll be honest with you. Having time of my life, I thought. God said, quit your job. I minded him. God's worked it out. Has he ever asked you to do something that's not logical? This is what tickles me. Somebody come to church here last week and I told them something about somebody from Adam. They said, you mean tell me these people driving to Liberty? No, I know from Woodland. I said, these folks driving to Liberty from Anniston. He said, what? High as gas is? Yeah, it ain't logical. But honey, I tell you one thing, I'd rather be a place where the Word of God's preached and the Holy Ghost is a-moving and the people of God is one mind and one accord. Honey, gas is too high to drive to a dead church. We ain't got to run, jump, shout, pews, but I promise you one thing, it'll be a King James Bible stood on in this place and a man of God will preach to you out of his heart. Can't offer you nothing else because it's the Lord's. You look around, if I know it, if I don't know it and you know it, you need to come tell me because I want to kill it. I don't know of one family running this outfit. Oh, I know a few's tried. You'd love to have your input. I don't even get my input. It's God's. God's the one that's done it. God's blessing. He's in the forefront of it all. And He gave Himself for us. Ain't that amazing? Now I want you to look what God done for him. And I believe with all my heart God wants to say to somebody right here, I've said this whole message to preach to get to this one point I want to say to you this morning. Somebody said, how do you know God's alive? Because I know His Word is alive. You see, when logic's lacking, God asks you to do something that your math's not adding up. Your thought process just can't connect with what God's wanting you to do or asking you to do. I want to say this. There's a mention, there's a mission, there's an array, but there's a message. I'm glad God's always had a message through my trial. And when you go through a trial, you go through a test, and you pass that test, God's always going to have a message for you. Here's the message Abraham found. You ready? Number one, he found out, verse number 11, there was a person beside him. You're not by yourself. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. As soon as he said, here am I, God said, I'm here. I'm glad there is a God, a person beside us. You'll never go through nothing by yourself if you're saved by the grace of God. When Abraham said, here am I, God said, I'm here. Aren't you glad you got a God this morning? That'll be with you. You see, the message is a person beside him. Verse 13, look what the Bible said. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. That would do some of you real good this morning to lift up your eyes and not only see a person beside you, but a place before you. I want to remind you, there was only one Calvary. And that place before you today, when you look at what Jesus done for you, everything else becomes minor. Because He took your place. He lifted up His eyes and He saw the place. Number three, this is what I want to say right here. Maybe somebody needs to hear this morning. Not only in this message did He find a person beside Him. He said, I'm here. A place before Him. It was on a hill. But there was a picture behind Him. All of a sudden in verse number 12, the Bible said in verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife. And all of a sudden, the Bible said in verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his own. You see, there's a person beside you. There's a place before you. But I sure am glad there's a picture behind you. This is the thought this morning. God may be doing more than what you see. In my trial, what I've never known, there's a God that's faithful behind me. A God that has saved me. A God that has seen about me. And a God that's in my situation. Honey, you hang on and just trust God. He's going to let you turn around one day and see what He's been doing behind you. It's amazing what He is doing for you when you wasn't looking. Crazy as some of us was, wicked as we is a living, God, by His sovereign mercy and grace, had us under Holy Ghost protection. We was minding our own business, couldn't see behind, but honey, let me tell you, the older I get, the more I turned around, I see just how good God's been behind my back. He been good to anybody? Miss Emily, won't you come this morning and play? Could you imagine when Abraham turned around and saw something? He said, well, God, you've been doing a lot behind me that I never did know. I want to ask you something. The way a lot of us was living, how'd we get here this morning? I got a brother, 55 years old, my age, tapped out and met God. God didn't let him live. He had two grandbabies. I've got four. In the Bible, where Peter was locked up, Herod killed James. Why'd he let Peter live? I don't know why he let me live, but honey, I want to look behind me and say thank you. That there's a God in heaven been a seeing about me and helping me all the time that I never could see him. I want to thank him this morning. I don't know what you need today. There's something else in this story. Weary pilgrim, look at your preacher. Something else there in this story. This message, not only a person beside him and a place before him and a picture behind him, but there was a provision beyond him. You know what he's saying? In verse 14, Miss Peggy, you know what he's saying? He said he looked and he took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. You know what that simply means? The Lord will provide. He done anything for you? I don't belittle your hurt. I don't belittle your non-logic, but I want to say this to you. There's a God in heaven today. He's doing things behind your back on your account because He loves you. And this preacher wants to tell you today, lift up your head, look toward Calvary, and realize what God has done for you and doing through you. I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Our God will. Not if He wakes up. Not if He takes a notion, but our God will provide. What a day to be a Christian. What a day to have a family, to raise them in God's house. Miss Emily, you play. I don't know what you need this morning. Maybe